So you shall bring a dowry unto the possession of Gath, even Moresheth of Gath. Deceitful daughters are as unfaithful to the kings of Israel. That's Micah chapter 1, verse 14. In the version of Yours Truly, which I did in 2003, and that's our daily scripture for today, little children. And today, you know, I'm not going to pretend to be confident if I'm not confident. Today I had to go do some things, and so I haven't had time to prepare. And it's a little bit later today, but, you know, see, that's what it's called, a confidence man. Somebody who cons you, who pretends to give you confidence and pretends to have confidence when there is no real reason for confidence. So I'm not going to pretend to have confidence when I don't have it. But yesterday, in our study of the article, Joseph and On, with On being the name of the city in Egypt, which is also called Heliopolis. And Heliopolis is also named after the god Helios. And I believe, let's look up Helios. I want to find out what Helios was like. Like, Helios, did he ride a chariot? I think he rode a chariot, didn't he? Because we know Joseph rode a chariot. And Joseph was the lord of On. He was the priest of On. He served in that capacity. He married the daughter of the priest of On, and he became as a priest by marrying that daughter of the priest of On. We're going to have to look that up in the Bible, I think, too. But Helios, what did he, look at the animals, horse, wolf, cattle, and the chariot. See that? One of the symbols of Helios was the chariot. So, see, we know Joseph rode a chariot, which was Pharaoh's second chariot after Pharaoh appointed him in the year 1923 BCE, which is, in our chronology, that's the date when Joseph was appointed, and it's a biblically based chronology based on the Septuagint, and it's also based on, you know, a lot of other Bible versions for much of it too. But as far, when you start getting back further, it's based on the, you know, when you start getting back before, let's say, well, I guess 1923 is not based on the Septuagint. That's based on, we haven't got back far enough to be basing it on the Septuagint yet. So 1923 is based on all the Bibles, all the Masoretic texts, as well as versions based on the Septuagint as well. That's right. But the 1493 date was the Exodus date, and we're going to mention that that's from 1 Kings verse 7 and 1, or is it verse 6 and 1? I can't remember. I think it's 7 and 1. 1 Kings 7 and 1. Yeah. No. Look at that. It was 6 and 1. 6 and 1. 1 Kings 6 and 1 in the 480th year. You see, we're going to see in the 480th year, because we had Solomon founding his temple. We could find out what year he began to rule based on the number of years of each of the kings of Israel, and the total was 430 years. Well, let's do it right from the beginning. So the destruction of Jerusalem was 587, and add the 430 years of kings. Now, the 587 is a date given in conventional chronology that is established by the Babylonian records, King Nebuchadnezzar, that's his 18th or 19th year? Yeah. That's right. After 604. It's about, in other words, it's, if you add 20, you get 607, right? So it's something like 17 years after 604, which is his 18th year, when he destroyed Jerusalem, 587. And that's very, very well established. So we add the 430, which is the number of years of kings of Judah in the Bible. And we can determine that. Let's do it as an intermediate calculation. First of all, calculate that. It's 1017. Okay, then we go from there and add back the 480th, which is 479 full years, and we get to 1496. Is that true? What? Oh, no. No. Okay, that's what we would get to, but look what it says. It says that he built, yeah, in the fourth year of Solomon is when this 480th year occurred. Okay. That's right. It says, in the 480th year after they came out of Egypt, the sons of Israel, that is, in the fourth year after Solomon became king over Israel. That's 1 Kings 6 and 1. Okay. So we have to say it's 1017, right? And then minus 3 years, because it was his fourth year. And that gives us 1014. And then we add to that the 479 years, because it's the 480th year after Solomon became king, in the fourth year, that is. It was the 480th year when, in Solomon's fourth year, he began to build the house of Jehovah, or house to Jehovah, as the New World Translation says here, from 1984. I mean, it's the fourth year of Solomon that equals the 480th year. So we're saying, let's get to the fourth year of Solomon, and that's 1014, and then add the 480 or 479, right? Because it's not quite 480 full years. And that's when we get 1493. So that's where we got the date for the Exodus. But the Israelites also were in Egypt for 430 years, according to Exodus 12 and 41, I think. 1923 is the full extent. So that's the beginning of their time in Egypt. That's when Joseph was appointed as ruler of Egypt. He was the first Israelite to become a citizen in Egypt, living there before the famine, right? So that's where that came from. So, but just to show you that it's in the Bible, the 430 years is in Exodus 12, and 40 and 41. The dwelling of the sons of Israel, who had dwelt in Egypt, and it's a rather peculiar expression here. It says, the dwelling of the sons of Israel, who had dwelt in Egypt. Why would it say that? Why didn't it just say, you know, the time that the sons of Israel dwelt in Egypt? It doesn't say that, but the reason why is because they dwelt in Egypt, For some of them did, for all of the 430 years, because Joseph and his sons, for example, dwelt in Egypt for all of the 430 years. The sons that were born before, well, wait a minute now. Joseph and his sons, actually, his sons were born after he was appointed as second in command. So Joseph's the only one who dwelt there for 430 years, you see. So that's why it says, the dwelling of the sons of Israel who had dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. It doesn't say, at least looking at it from the point of view of how we have dated it, it makes perfect sense to write it this way, because some of them dwelt, in fact, almost all of them dwelt for less than 430 years, but Joseph dwelt for 430 years in Egypt from the time when he was appointed as second in command of all Egypt. And the amazing thing is, in our chronology, too dark here, hang on a sec. The amazing thing is that in our chronology, it works out so well, because when we calculate, it works out perfectly that Joseph was, I'm trying to think what other way we have of checking it. We have him born, he was 30 years old in that year, 1923, because that was the year when he was appointed, right? Trying to think. Oh, I know, we have it because Demetrius talked about how many years it was after the deluge and how many years after Adam when the sons of Jacob came, or when Jacob himself came up, or out, I should say, down from Canaan during the famine and came to dwell in Egypt. He gives that number of years as 3,624 or something like that for one of the dates, and then we have to add 11 years because for one of the time distances, and we calculated that yesterday. I guess we don't need to do that again today. But, I mean, it's another way of double-checking this, and it turns out to be exactly the same as what Demetrius said. So that's the double checking. That's the way to double check, independently check. It's an independent confirmation. And at the end of the 140, in verse 41, at the end of the 430 years, it came about on this very day that all the armies of Jehovah, on this very day, went out of the land of Egypt. On this very day. That's why we were looking at the day of the week, right? And we're trying to find out, and for sure, is it the same day of the week when these things both occurred? We don't know what day Joseph was appointed. Let's look up the priest of On. Let's look up Potiphera. If that's the right pronunciation. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name, Genesis 41 and 45, Zaphnath-Paneah, and gave him Asenath, the daughter of Potiphera, the priest of On, as a wife. So that's why you see Joseph is associated with the city of On, Heliopolis, or On, the Egyptian city being called On, and the Greek name for that city being Heliopolis, and Helios is the Greek god of what? The sun or something, right? He personifies the sun, it says in Wikipedia. And he's also called Hyperion. We're going to be talking about this more in the article, too. I do believe, because we've got a lot to cover in this article about the gods of Rome and Greece and Egypt. Now, we talked about the year 1493 yesterday and how that lined up really well with the work on the moon phase that was done by Fred Espenac. Our calculation, yeah, we don't have to do the day of the week calculation anymore. That's the amazing thing now, that we've got this calculator on the Will of Jehovah homepage, willofjehovah.com. We've got this calculator. The day of the week is done for us because the calculator has already done all the corrections for the change of the Gregorian calendar and all that. In fact, if we go to the year 15, let's go to the year 1582, October, and what happens when we go to the, what happened there? There was no date that existed or something at that point. Let's go to Egyptian time, we don't really care, but we might as well go to plus 3 hours. East of Greenwich, but just because we normally calculate things for Egypt, just doesn't really matter, I guess, because we're talking about the year here, 1582, this year 1582. It jumps, you see, when you go one day forward from October 4th, in 1582 it jumps to October 15th, because those other days don't exist in the Gregorian calendar. But prior to this, from October 4th, this is the Julian calendar, all the way back, from 1582 all the way back, is the Julian calendar, all the way back to, well, however many thousand years you want to go back, keep going back. Let's even switch to 1,000-year jumps. So we're going back 1,000 years at a time. If you click on that, the Julian day, or the patch between the two half moons at the bottom. Click on that patch, and you'll switch to. You can toggle between 1,000 or 100-year jumps, in the selector for the jumps up above that, just above that. Anyway, so let's look at the. Keep going back. I limited the calculator to go back to the time of Adam, 5550 BCE. So that's the limit. Can't go back any further. And it calculates the moon phase all the way back, and that's always from that time of the transition to the Gregorian. Prior to that, it's the Julian calendar. That's how we do that. Okay, so that's how that calculator was written by me to do that. You know, line by line, I wrote this. And like I said, you know, I mean, we could look at the code sometime. We could look at the source code and see. Maybe we'll look at it right now. Let's view the source code of this. Is it there with developer? Maybe show the page source. There we go. If you look at the source code, okay. Let's, what can we do? Can we make it bigger? Yeah. Let's make it bigger like this. Okay. Can I zoom on that or not? Yeah, it's getting bigger. Okay. I want to make this over this way, if we can. There we go. Let's make it bigger so we can see it. So this is not the actual code yet. I'm not getting into the code yet. We're at the maximum size. So this is some of the calculations that are done here. It's converting angles and stuff. Sine. And now I condensed the code into a much tighter format, so you can't really see what's happening too easily. But I did all the conversion. And it's also converting sometimes between calendars and stuff here too. Look at all this stuff that is, this is all part of the code that I wrote line by line, and I had to, it was done step by step. It was done from scratch. I wrote it from scratch because I've written some programs in the past in other languages. I'd never written in JavaScript before, ever, when I wrote this. But it was, you know, it's a language similar to some of the other languages I'd used, like Fortran and basic MumpTy, stuff like that. But MumpTy is multi-user, multi-task interpreter, which was just one company had that as the language they were using. But let me just see. Look at all this stuff. You see, I've used functions because that's a way to keep the code more. It keeps it simpler and more condensed, right? You can call the same function over and over again to do the same calculations. And then there's a lot of stuff for making it look a certain way and having error messages or different messages pop up. Then there's a lot of stuff that's just HTML, you know, and that's and text or page format stuff. That's what this is. And I don't know if there's more coding going on. I think we're done the coding. All that was all the code that's all up in the first part of the page code. So that's all we need to see there, I think. Let's close that. But I wrote that code, and then in there you'll find the equations that were used by the astronomers to calculate certain things like the equinox and the moon phase and stuff like that. I had to get those formulas from the scientists somewhere online. I got some sources and found the best ones I could, right? That's how I did it. So it took a while, right? It got better and better as time progressed. So that's my calculator. And because we have the calculator, I forgot to show you. Look, we see Friday in the year 5550 BCE. It's a Friday on October 1st. It tells us that, Friday. The calculator does all that. It's doing it. It keeps track of what day of the week it is. It also keeps track of the Egyptian calendar date, Koyak 22, October 1st, 5550 BCE. And it will do any date that you want. It just automatically updates every time you change the date. So that's how it goes. And we don't have to ever do another day of the week calculation, which was, I did it longhand in the article here. At the bottom of this article, I do a longhand calculation. I don't really want to go through it, but maybe I will at some point. But it's not very much fun. But the first day of the year, let's read this. If March 21st is the first day of the year, in meaning that, you know, that the year began in the spring for these ancient people in 1493, but this would be in particular talking about not so much, I don't think the Egyptians' year, yeah, their year didn't begin any particular time of year because their calendar drifted with the seasons, because they didn't have an extra leap day, you know, that they didn't do that addition, so their calendar was continually drifting. They had no beginning of the year in the Julian calendar, but or it wasn't in the springtime, you know, in the June. Anyway, it was any time when it happened to line up. Or, you know, according to, it might have been, it was in the springtime at certain times. But March 21st, 1493, the Israelites had, I'm trying to think, when did they get the, at the time of the Exodus, they were told that from then on,
that's right,
that's what it was. This is really, really interesting, and not everybody has ever seen this. This is, not everybody knows this stuff. God said to Moses at the time of the Exodus, okay? Right. In Exodus chapter 12, this month, verse 2, will be the start of the months for you. And that was the first month. It will be the first of the months of the year for you. And this, what month was it? I don't even think it. Let's check the end of chapter 11. It was the month of, we know it was the month of Nisan, right? The month of Abib, as it's also called, I believe, depending on which. I mean, they gave it a different name when they went to Babylon, and when they were exiled in Babylon, it got a certain name, and that's the name they kept after that. But at this point, I think it was called Abib. And where is it? Where does it say Abib? Let's search it. I don't even know. But this is the first time in the Israelite history when the springtime became the first of the year for them. Yeah. The appointed time, the unfermented cakes in the month of Abib, Exodus 23 and 15. So that's where it's established that it is, in fact, Nisan, which was the same thing as Abib. So we know that they started at this point at the Exodus. This is the first time ever in the Israelite history when they started to celebrate the year at the time, you know, the 14th day, it was the Passover of the month, in the month of Nisan. So, and we're 13 days shy of April 3rd, the vernal equinox, so that's why it's so important, because 13 days shy means Nisan 14 will not fall, you know, after the Exodus, possibly. It might fall before the Exodus, before the equinox, I mean. We don't even know whether it should be after the equinox, but how else are they going to do it, right? They have to make sure their year commences before the equinox? No, probably after the equinox, because they want to make sure, and they don't want it to ever drift away from that. It has to begin always round about the time of the Exodus. But when we wrote this article, Joseph, and then Joseph and Owen, those two articles actually, when I wrote those, I wasn't sure whether we should start the year after the equinox or just about round about the equinox, before, not before the equinox, but maybe it's okay if Nisan 14 falls just after the equinox. That might be okay, right? We don't know. Should Nisan 1 be after the equinox? If so, then that's why, that explains why this didn't work. But there are 14 days on either side in the modern Jewish reckoning that this month can fall on, that is, on either side of the vernal equinox, and it's acceptable for Nisan 1 to be on either side in the modern day of the vernal equinox. Although this does not prove the validity of the date March 21st for Nisan 1, it confirms it in the sense that it's consistent with modern Jewish reckoning. And then we found it doesn't work, because the Sabbath day that is a Saturday is supposed to fall on IR 22 in that year of the Exodus, okay? Because we read in Exodus chapter 16 of Exodus, where they're leaving, the Sabbath was instituted in that year of the Exodus. It was the seventh day, counting from IR 15, and you have to go through it at great length and detail and read it. Read that chapter 16 of Exodus. And then it's still not easy, really, to figure it out. But it can be done, and it looks like, to us anyway, to me, it looks to me that IR22 has to be a Saturday. So is it, I mean, in order for it to be the right year and the right month and everything, it's got to be a Saturday on IR22. So IR22 is the same day of the week as IR15, 7 days different, be the same day of the week, right? Because a week is 7 days long. Normally, IR15 is 30 days after Nisan 15. Because Nisan normally has 30 days. However, for some reason, there's a Jewish tradition, the tradition, that Nisan had only 29 days for the year of the Exodus. And we saw from, we saw that yesterday from Gauchy's tables. It's number 5 or 6. Fifth one of my tabs here. It's not going to remember where I am. I have to go there. 1493. Got to go there. It's negative 1492 that equals the same thing as, same year as 1493 is negative 1492. That's the scientific convention for the year 1493. We got March 20th to April 19th, right? Which is 1 day less, but it's 31 days in March, so that's a 30-day month from March to April. But from April 19th to May 18th for the first visibility at Memphis in Egypt, which is north of Egypt. But I mean, it's the moon visibility doesn't vary much geographically, so that we're somewhere in the north of Egypt, and it doesn't really matter where on the Earth we are. Basically, it's almost identical. But we are, it so happens, very near to where the Israelites were living at the time of the Exodus in this calculation, so it's even better. But April 19th to May 18th, but April only has 30 days. So if it had been April 19th to May 19th, it would have been a 30-day month, according to this calculation. 19 to 19 with 30 days in April. But it's only 19 to 18 with 30 days in April, so that proves it's a 29-day month from April to May. So that gives us an idea that it might favor that they didn't start their year until after the equinox, in other words, in this particular year. But first of all, we have to determine what happens when we started in March, which we did first. That was our first try, was March. Okay? And that would, but see, we're aware there's a Jewish tradition, though, that Nisan had only 29 days for the year of the Exodus, which is 1493 in our chronology, and which we just saw in Gauchy's calculation. Fits perfectly for the moon calculation for a month of 29 days if it's after the month, if the month starts in April, not in March. Okay, but this could occur because the 29 days could occur because of the date of the start of one month, like we just saw, relative to the timing of the next new moon. We're talking about the visibility of the moon, though, not just the new moon. That's what Gauchy's calculating, the visibility. First day of visibility. And we believe the Israelites used the first visible crescent as the basis for the start of their months. See, we don't know much, really. A lot of it is just the best that we can do. Thus, it need be no cause for consternation, but it is a little unusual. Counting from Nisan 15 to IR 15 for the year 1493, if we're believing what the tradition was, there would be 29 days from Nisan 15 to IR 15, because there's only 29 days in Nisan, right? Okay? And you can do the math yourself if you're wondering about it. You can write out all the days and add them up or do whatever you want to do. But for the year 1493, there are, in fact, 29 between those two dates, right? Which was, like, Nisan 15 was the day they departed, and IR 15 was the first day of that week that was talking about the Sabbath at the end of that week, right? So, in other words, that's IR 15 has got to be. Oh, we said it's got to be a Sabbath. Yeah, IR 15 has to be a Sabbath. IR 16, therefore, was the start of the counting of the week, right? The Sunday, started to count on the 16th. And, you know, you have to go through it in detail, which we can't. We don't have time to do that, right? We'll do it whenever we need to. We'll go through it in detail, and I'll show you all the details, but we don't have time to. We're just giving you the outline here. So, and 29 days is one day more than four whole weeks. So for IR-15 to be a Saturday, which we're saying it needs to be, as from the year of the Exodus, Nisan-15 was thus a Friday because it's one day more than 4 weeks. So we go back 4 weeks and then one more day to go back 29 days. So we get to Friday, Nisan-15. And that's what we had determined, right? That we at some point we determined that May 3rd, 1493 was Nisan 15, and it was a Friday. And that was the day they departed. We determined that, and we wrote it down. We're going to see it maybe even in this article. I'm not sure where it's written, which article. All, you know, it's written in all the articles, probably, to some extent or other. Wherever it is appropriate. It only remains to determine what. What day of the week was March 21st in 1493 in the Julian calendar? Because we said March 21st looks like the first day of the month, right? So we did all this. Now, we did all this stuff here. You know, we talked about the Gregorian calendar, etc., etc. We have to account for everything that happened in all the calendar days that between us today and all the way back. And that's what the calculation was doing, right? There were 10 days removed from the calendar by Pope Gregory, by his command. That had to be accounted for. But we only need to find one true path for the timeline of history, and we're going to conclude today with that idea. We're only trying to find one path. We don't have to find everything. So that's why we're focusing on this one particular date in history at the time of the Exodus. We're trying to prove or find one path that is true. And if we can find out whether it's actually a Sabbath or not a Sabbath, and then that will, hopefully we'll find that it is a Sabbath. That would prove it was true, right? We would have found the one true path. Or not the one, but one true path. If it's one true path, maybe it is the one true path, and we can show it or not, but we'll have to talk about it. It's January 26th, 2025 of the Common Era today, and the time is 21:58 hours Canadian Eastern Time, 21:59 now. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much, and thank you so much for listening and watching. In my behalf, this is Sissy, and this is Star saying bye for now. We read all the way today in the article Joseph and Own, right down to the one true path for the timeline of history. That sentence there, whatever paragraph number that is. This is paragraph, I think, 4, 5, 6. Bye for now.